Peter. "Bakers, put down your utensils!" Archie booms from the front of the room, giving me a heart palpitation despite the comforting fact that my bake is already done. I take a step back from my table, putting my palms up just in case anyone should think I wasn't following orders. I've been doing nothing but waiting these past 5 minutes, confounded that I'm finished ahead of the others and trying to make sure I haven't missed anything as I watch them rush around. It's been interesting to watch the atmosphere in the tent turn, the mood slipping quickly from amiable to anxious. You can practically feel the adrenaline flowing through the tent. Next to me, Stella scrambles to get a last detail right on her cutting board, and I feel a flash of annoyance. "The time is up, so why do you think the rules don't apply to you?" I think uncharitably. But then, this is a competition, even if it doesn't come across that way on television.
"Please bring your breads to the front of the tent and place them on the judging table," Betsy says.
By now, things are quiet, the tension in the room heavy, as the six of us catch our breath and stare at the judges' table. I scoop up my tray of bread and bring it forward. I'm proud of what I've done today. My baking tray is piled high with a stack of soft, spiraled bread shaped like cornucopias. I've piped them full of a thick chocolate custard. A shiny dark chocolate drizzle crisscrosses the top. Next to them, sliced in even rows, is my pepper and cheddar babka. They are both precise, their sizes even, each braid and twist neat and purposeful. I pride myself for my attention to detail. It's what gives me a leg up in my work in restoration and the key to my most successful bakes. I place the tray down on the judging table behind the placard with my name on it. I feel myself brimming with confidence as I peek at the other contestants' breads. With the exception of Gerald's sesame-encrusted herb boule and meticulous cinnamon buns, mine are the prettiest and neatest of the bunch. I step back, standing in line with the other five, and wait to be judged. Betsy and Archie take their places on the other side of the table. I breathe a long, shaky breath. First breads up on the table are Stella's. She steps forward to the table nervously. I watch as Betsy and Archie put their first bites into their mouths. Chew. I am relieved when they don't sigh in pleasure. Betsy puts her fork down and looks across at Stella, who watches her adoringly, her hands clasped in front of her.
"I think it's good, but you could have done more with the flavors. Didn't you say you used miso?"
Stella's face falls a bit.
"Perhaps I should have used more?"
"Yes, I agree," Archie says. "The texture is there, but the flavor just isn't coming through."
They move on to her rolls, which go over about the same.
"Technically, it's very good. You just need to be braver with the spices," Betsy concludes.
It's not the worst assessment, but I see Stella shrug sadly as she steps back into the line. I hold my breath as they move on to my bread.
"Oh, I love a babka, and this one is very well baked," Archie says, taking a bite.
"And look at this pattern,"
Betsy taps on the top of the loaf with her fork.
"Just beautiful. I love the way this tastes, Peter. Terrific work."
I beam. I am proud of how steady my hand has been today. The result has been even better than any I've done at home without a soul watching.
"Now, the chocolate horns."
I watch with excitement as Betsy picks one up and puts the chocolate custard-filled end into her mouth. Her lips close and her eyes open wide in surprise. My heart drops as her face twists into a grimace.
"Oh, gosh, what's wrong?" I ask weakly, instantly regretting saying anything at all.
It's a problem of mine, talking too much when I'm nervous. I get no response anyway and watch in horror as Betsy turns her head away from my bread as though it has offended her. She flutters a hand at Archie, her mouth puckered theatrically.
"Water!"
she gasps. "Surely it can't be that bad." Archie snaps a finger at his PA, who scrambles for a bottle of Fiji.
It's passed to Betsy, who takes several long, desperate gulps. I can feel my face flush. My ears are probably bright red. I try not to think of the cameras capturing this from all angles for posterity.
"Did you use salt in this in place of sugar?"
Betsy finally chokes out. She says it in as kind a way as is possible for someone who just ate a mouthful of salty chocolate.
"Not on purpose."
It's all I can say. I feel the ground opening beneath me. All I want is to curl up and disappear into it. I've just fed Betsy Martin a cornucopia full of creamy salt. I might throw up. She looks like she might, too. I've never been so mortified in my life. Archie shakes his head.
"I'm not going to try that, then. Sorry, man," he says.
He puts his fork down onto the table with a devastating clink.
"Such a shame, Peter. It looks so lovely," Betsy says, her voice still a bit hoarse. "You'd never know if you hadn't tasted it."
I retreat from the table, falling back into line with the others. My cheeks are burning with embarrassment. As Betsy and Archie move on to the other contestants' bread, I glance back at the canisters of white crystals on my baking table. They are two different sizes. I'd assume the larger was sugar and the smaller salt. That's how these things are always organized. I even pressed my finger into some of the grains and tasted them at the beginning to be sure. I should have double-checked and tried a taste of my filling like I normally do at home. Then I would have been able to start over again. But I hadn't wanted to seem like I wasn't confident or for a camera to catch me grotesquely eating raw batter. I glance at Melanie standing in the shadows at the edge of the tent. Her arms are crossed and her hair is pulled back into its slick bun. She notices me watching her and gives her head a fierce little shake, circling her finger for me to turn back around to face the cameras. I do as I'm told. As soon as judging is over, I plunge my hand inside the larger canister on my baking table, grabbing a pinch and sprinkling it into my mouth. My eyes tear up as the sharp bite of salt fizzles on my tongue.